Caution, the Mark Unger Show contains adult content intended for an adult audience. And besides that, he's really weird. Welcome to the Mark Unger Show with national marriage speaker and author of Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage, Mark Unger. This is your source for practical, down-to-earth marriage advice without all the over-spiritualization or romantic nonsense. And now the host of the Mark Unger Show, Mark Unger.
Wild with the delirious joy, they have joined the Mark Unger Show, the show that deals with all things concerning
marriage.
Indeed, I am your host, Mark Unger. Joining me, as always, the very lovely and charming Diane Brierley, as well as the incredible Ross Allen Skorzewski. Engineering the show, as always, the very talented but eerily creepy Timothy Robert Ray. Engineer extraordinaire and part-time serial killer, pushing buttons, twisting knobs, and trying to stay awake during the production of this incredibly boring show. This is the show that handles your marital challenges, relational conundrums, and dating dilemmas that you can email to us at ask@markgunger.com. Here's how the show works. You get to send an email about any question. Nothing is verboten or off-limits. In exchange, you get to remain totally anonymous, and then in exchange, we're brutally honest. In a sea of Christian programming that is overwhelmingly concerned about how people feel and how their feelings are, how the message impacts their feelings, blah, 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 blah. This show is the anti-feeling show.
Yes.
We don't care how you feel. There is no care, concern in any way, shape, or form about your feelings. This is the meanest show in Christendom, and done so intentionally. We, of course, actually are nice people. The show is very funny, entertaining, very enlightening, as we give truth, but we just don't care about feelings. We've had it up to here with the feelings. If you have ooboo boo boos, don't email us. Send it to somebody else. There's lots of Christian programs.
Uber boo-boos.
Uber boo-boos. And you're concerned about how your boo-boos would be reflected on this program, don't email us. Okay? Send it to somebody else. There's lots of programs. There's tons of programs all about your boo-boos, your emotional boo-boos. We're not concerned about your emotional boo-boos. We're just concerned about telling people the truth. If you want to know what people really think when you're not in the room, email us. You'll get a picture. Anyway, all right, what do you got?
I didn't get the memo on the plaid shirt. Sorry, guys.
Today's plaid shirt day.
It's plaid shirt day, and I missed the memo. Okay.
Rod, look at Ross. He's like, cool.
Yeah.
Cool with this plaid shirt.
He's the handsome man over there. Okay, anyway, you said that the title of this one, you perused it before we went on the air, was intriguing to you.
It was intriguing.
I have one.
Title?
You do have one.
Oh, you always do.
It's titled
Underage Dating.
Holy novel.
Yeah, it's a thick one.
I told you, I'm not reading all of it.
The title of the article, Underage Dating, The Elephant in the Social Conservative Living Room.
And I pulled this off of a website called The College Conservative.
All right, talk to us.
There's actually some really good articles on there if you want to ever check out the site. They're speaking about the divorce rate being high among conservatives and about conservatives bemoaning the fact how high the divorce rate is in this country. Mm-hmm. But she doesn't want to talk about that. She's addressing the elephant, which she says is the number one way our culture chooses to perpetuate the cancer of broken marriages and failed relationships, and that is underage dating.
Ooh, I like it already.
She wants to know, since when is it considered healthy and acceptable for underage people to be in a relationship? Just what do parents and educators expect to be the result of the romantic conquests of these middle school children?
Oh,
and
how I'd love to know the answer to that.
High school students.
These moronic parents, some of them watching and listening to this show right now. You dopes. You're letting your 13-year-old daughter date your 14-year-old daughter date exclusively with somebody, and then you're shocked. You're shocked when they have sex. I don't know what happened.
Exclusively at 13.
Good Lord.
Oh, yeah, they're in a relationship.
Parents at our church. They're all upset because their son had sex with his girlfriend. Well, when did this happen? When they were downstairs in the basement. What are they doing downstairs in the basement? Well, they watch movies. Well, how long are they alone? Hours.
How about
hours
this?
At times. Hours and hours. Right? I talked to one pastor. Him and he lets his daughter stay in her room.
I know it.
With the door closed for hours. And I looked at him like he's insane. He's like, well, you know, they're doing their homework.
They ain't studying,
I've
friend.
I've had it where the guys...
They ain't
you
studying. Moron!
The parents have actually let the girlfriend spend the night because they, you know, she has a kind of rough go at home. So they would let her stay.
Oh.
And what do you think was happening?
Well, okay. Let's say you approve of the boy or the girl. And for whatever sick reason, you decide you want him to stay. Spend the night. How about they not spend the night in the same room? They actually let them spend the night. They put them in two different beds.
Oh, but they're in the two separate beds. One's sleeping on the floor.
You want to see, well, we trust them. You moron. Oh. You moron.
You go to bed. You know what they're going to do?
Even if they're in separate rooms.
We have a secret knock. Yeah, it's
haven't you watched all of the Ashton Kutcher movies where they're in the separate room and they end up in the same room in the parents'
crazy.
House?
Crazy.
Parents, I mean, how?
They're so dumb.
How can they be so dumb and still breathe?
She said,
you trust your teenager in a situation like that. You are a moron. I'm sorry. No, I'm not. I'm politely sorry. No, I'm not.
No, you're not. You're not sorry at all.
I'm not sorry at all.
You're an idiot.
Remember,
we're not worried about feelings.
You are a moron
13,
wrapped
14,
up in an idiot.
15-year-old kid date. Alone.
You are a midget.
Exclusively all the time.
A midget? What's a midget?
Moron and idiot put together.
A midget.
You're a midget.
You're a midget.
They're midiots, all of them.
Crazy. It's absolutely
crazy. Oh, now we're
crazy.
In shock. You're right. You know, then we complain about relationships. See, that's the problem. That is the problem.
Yep. Preach.
The church loves to spend time fixing broken people.
Yep.
But they don't want to stop breaking them.
That's exactly right.
That's the problem. Maybe we got some kind of a sick...
fixation.
Messiah complex or something.
Oh yeah, that, savior that, complex. Yeah,
yeah. We've got a sick savior complex that we've got to fix broken people.
Yep.
But we don't have enough brains to stop the breaking. So what we do is we let our children date at 13 and 14, seriously dating, let their boyfriend stay over, let them sit in their room with their doors closed for 5 hours at a time while they study.
Study.
Oh, yeah, that's what they're doing. Praise God. They're praying, you know. Well, they're certainly laying hands on each other. I'll tell you that.
It's health class. It's CPR.
It's not the biblical laying on of hands that's going on in there.
It's mouth to mouth.
Good heavens, for all the stupid things.
They're all not right. connecting the dots
But no, that's not the worst part. That's bad enough. But then on top of it, then they tell these kids at 17, 18, you can't get married. You can't get married until you're almost 30.
Start dating when you're 13, don't get married till you're 29.
Oh, that's real intelligent. And we celebrate the 30-year-old virgins, of course, who aren't virgins at all.
You gotta go to college.
We hardly have, and you know... I'll bet you ask how many Christian young people getting married today are actually virgins on their wedding day. And weep and wail.
It's too bad.
No, the problem is they wouldn't weep or wail.
I would.
Oh, man. So those parents that are okay with it.
Okay, so check it out. So they're not getting married because we're morons and we don't like, oh, God. We worship at the God of the altar of money. And most important thing, kids, is they have education and money. Money. And we push these kids and we wait. So we create a whole generation of young men who are porn addicts, girls who had sex with 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 different guys by the time they finally get married. Then they get married and they can't make the marriage work. Why? Because they have so much baggage. And then they come to the pastor, my marriage is falling apart in the head. And then we spend all our time fixing broken people. Oh, it's so wonderful. Oh, it's okay. Well, they get a divorce. It's okay. It's okay if they get a divorce because they got boo-boos and everything else. And then, you know, so we spend all our time, but we don't have enough brains
to
have them dating when they're 13. And not have enough brains to encourage them, if they fall in love, to get married at a young age and do life together, do morality together, actually build a life. You can still go to college and be married. You can still go be married and have a career, start your career. There's a million different things you can do and build something that's healthy and strong, and now these marriages are staying together. And I don't know, maybe we'll be bored because we'll have time to fix broken people.
Father!
What? Shut up!
He's on a rant! Let him go!
I'm ranting, for heaven's sakes!
I have a question for you, because you know, on our shows, you keep screaming Ichabod. You keep screaming,
Ichabod, the glory is departed.
Well, why aren't we seeing, you know, any more of the signs and wonders and the glory of God in our churches? Well, do you think it could be because we are so busy fixing things that are broken that we can't really be in the pursuit of, you know, healthy,
it's not bad to be fixing broken. I'm not saying that.
Well, I understand,
of course,
but
we should know, because the more
end,
we preach the gospel, you always bring. But we got enough sense. We got to do both.
Proactive. active.
We have to fix the broken while not helping people not to break in the first place. What we don't do is very well is that. We don't have to. You want Focus on the Family says, what, 80% of our young evangelical kids are giving up on their faith by the second year in college. We suck at this!
Oh, that's my
point. We can't even pass our faith on to our kids because we're morons!
If we do it right on the front end.
I can't take it anymore! Take a break! We'll be back with more right after this.
Hey there, preacher.
Find yourself missing episodes of The Mark Gunger Show? No need to worry. Go to iTunes.com and download all of our podcasts, which are made available free to you, our loyal listener. Join Mark and co-hosts as they continue to discuss any and all issues concerning life, love, and marriage.
Hey there, preacher. Are you listening?
I'm listening. Sing it.
Come on, preacher, listen.
He's desperate.
Come on.
This desperate prayer I pray. Huh. I can't go on living.
I'm hearing you.
No, I can't go on living this way.
You're listening to the Mark Gunger Show. Actually, you listen to the Reverend Jimmy Bratcher. Blues brother. A blues brother. Jimmy Bratcher.
Great guy.
Electric Rev. You can find out more about Jimmy and his music on jimmybratcher.com. Check it out. Oh, for heaven's sake.
Anything else you want to say about this? We'll post the whole article on the site because the whole thing is very good and parents need to read this. They seriously need to read this.
So someone's calling them out. What are you doing?
Mm-hmm. Letting your 14-year-old kid.
Yeah, we're creating. Listen.
You're creating the divorce problem by doing this.
Yeah, right. Nobody is more in favor of young marriage than I am. Mm-hmm. I think we would stop the moral decay of the Christian culture if we would encourage young people to get married young and stop the insanity and quit spending all our time to fix porn addicts and girls who had sex with 20 different guys and I have a hard time connecting with their husbands.
Yes.
If we just give them the green light, marry at 19, marry. Not saying you have to, but if they fall in love, listen, you're the parent, you're the moron. If you are giving them the green light to expect them to be married potentially in 2 years, that's when you start having them date. Mm-hmm. So if you're comfortable with your kid marrying at 18,
16,
let them start dating at 16. Yeah. If you're comfortable marrying at 19, let them start. It's, you know what? But the 13, what do you want to marry at 15? What do you expect's going to happen for that when you turn on all that passion and frustration? Honestly.
The gal who writes this says that she believes this form of dating is a training manual for divorce. Because it encourages young people to grow accustomed to giving their hearts away and then taking them back.
Oh, absolutely.
That's a good point. Mm-hmm.
Giving away, taking it back. 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 And it's like the glue, the sticky stuff on tape. And you stick it and you pull it out. It hurts off your arm. Okay. And then every time you read it loses more. Pretty soon, it barely holds on.
Yep.
And that's what happens. So we spend all our time fixing broken people because we don't have enough sense to stop the stupid in the first place because we believe in grace. Right? Look, grace is not grease. The Bible says the grace of God teaches all men to say no to unrighteousness and to live self-controlled lives.
Yes.
That's the grace of God. That's the Bible. When you talk about the grace of God, it teaches you to say no and to control yourself.
And that's in Titus, right?
But not anymore. The grace of God, say, oh, you can do anything, doesn't matter. Jesus will fix it all later. Jesus will fix it all later. Mm-hmm.
There's a song about that.
I am a C-H. I am a C-H-R-I-S-T-I-N. And I fornicate, and I masturbate, then I repent and get to do it all again. This is the new song. This is what we should be teaching our young people. Yeah.
That's a great baby.
Yes, there you go.
VBS.
It's VBS. And VBS, teach them that song. I know they teach them that song, little different words.
Teaching the updated. This is
the updated version.
The old thinking.
Yeah, that's old thinking, like from the other day. It's old thinking.
That's the old. So now we get. I'm a Christian, so I get to fornicate, masturbate, do it all, and then repent, do it all over again. That's the grace of God. Ah. Then we get all these mess up people, and then the church spends hours and hours and hours. Never-ending hour fixing these people. Look, it's one thing when we're fixing people who are coming into faith for the first time. Right. We'll always need to do
different.
That. I'm not saying don't do
but
it.
But you're fixing broken Christians a lot of
but
the time.
But we're fixing broken Christians who shouldn't have been breaking in the first place.
That's right.
Why? Because we let them date at 13.
Yep.
And we don't let them get married until they're 37. Oh, honestly, it's just... You know, I don't know. There's no fix for stupid. Mm-mm. There's an, forget it. Move on. I'll
you'll keep going and blow a gasket.
I'm going to blow a gasket here. What am I drinking here? What is this?
Kombucha.
Kombucha. I'm drinking my kombucha.
Make you feel better.
I don't know, someday I'll be doing the show with a bottle of Jack Daniels in it. Just to get through some of these scenarios. Like, what is the matter
with
people?
You know the beautiful thing about kombucha is if you look at it, it looks like a booger's floating in it.
Oh, quit saying that!
Haven't you looked inside of there?
It's not like the one that had the pomegranate seeds. That really did have things.
Kombucha is a fermented tea.
This segment of the Mark Gunger Show is brought to you by
Synergy Organic. You're moving it around.
I can't do this right. Kombucha. Actually, they're not. It'd be nice. Nice to have a sponsor like that. Anyway, okay. Moving on.
Okay, sorry. I just took a drink and got an ice cube right
now. Oh,
you
can't drink.
You weren't going to come back to me that fast.
All right, everybody pause. Everyone drink.
I got it.
They all listen to us drink.
I chomped the ice. I got it.
Why do you have got water?
Okay, next question. Okay. Moving on.
Yes.
Maybe this won't cause you to erupt.
You know, let's take a break.
Okay.
And then we'll come back.
Okay.
So we'll have time to actually answer an email. We will actually take your emails. And deal with those when we come back right after this.
He's a pastor, best-selling author, and popular marriage speaker. He's Mark Gunger, bringing you hard-hitting and honest marriage advice.
You're listening to the Mark Gunger Show, talking about love, marriage, relationship, and anything associated to said subjects. What do you got?
Okay, here we go. He says, I have been watching your videos and found a lot of truth in them. I'm struggling in my marriage right now, since it seems never to be enough for my wife. I keep on helping her doing
it
dishes.
It seems never...
Like, what he does is never enough.
Oh, what he does is never enough. Okay,
I keep on helping her doing dishes, laundry, kids, school, etc., but I feel like it's never good enough or good at all. She says it should be normal to do all of those things when your marriage is right.
Mm-hmm.
Can you please give me some advice or ideas on this? What do I do wrong? She's expecting that he should just do all of these things as part of being a good husband.
Okay, and he's doing it, and he...
feels like it's just not enough. It's like just expected.
Yeah.
She just
feels
it.
Like it's not enough.
Mm-hmm.
Well, booty sting in hell. I should grow a pair. For heaven's sakes. What kind of girly man is this? Just, I feel like it's not.
Well, maybe she's making him feel like it's
who
not enough.
Who cares what you feel like? That's what's the matter with people. And their marriage, I just don't know if I feel. Who cares what you, just do life. Can we just do the right thing for once, people, and not care how we feel?
Maybe he feels underappreciated.
I don't care what he feels!
I'm just saying.
You're going to find out his address. We'll drive over there and beat the snot out of him for a half hour.
Because no. We feel
like beating the snot out of you. For heaven's sake.
We don't.
No wonder people's marriages stink. No wonder they can't stay together. He's doing the right thing. And he's complaining because he's not sure how he feels about it.
Well,
I don't feel.
I'm reading between the lines thinking that he's not feeling appreciated for what he contributes.
How about you just do it and shut up?
Whether you're appreciated
how about you
or not.
Do it without any appreciation at all.
There's a novel idea.
How about you just serve God, even though no one notices you serving God? How about you serve your family, and no one notices you? Even your family doesn't
expecting anything in return. If you get something, then it's bonus.
But
that's right.
Just do what you're supposed to do.
I don't feel...
Like it's just not good enough for
her. Why don't you sit in the corner and pout about it?
I just don't feel appreciated.
Okay, now I'm going to play the devil's advocate because
you're the
I'm
devil.
The devil, and that's
you
my
are
job.
The devil.
The advocate. I couldn't say that word today. You have said...
Pack witch!
Thank you.
You're a card-carrying member.
She's a wicked witch.
Devil's advocacy.
She knows all about the devil. It's hack witch.
Okay. So I'm going to hearken your memories back.
Hearken.
I know. There's my
that
word again.
Hearken.
All right. You on other occasions have said when men do things and then their wives criticize them or refold the laundry or whatever, that wives shouldn't do that.
Okay.
That's not
what we're talking about here.
Well,
if
she's doing that, that
well,
would make
okay,
him
then
feel
that changes.
Like it's not good enough.
No, then that's okay. Then I'll cut
you
slack
on
that.
I'm reading this.
Well, I don't know if she's
a woman.
Well, you're not doing that right.
See?
Well,
then
she is being a witch and needs to stop it.
That's what I'm understanding.
That's not what he's saying. He said he's doing it, and I don't feel appreciated.
Well, Shut your face.
It never seems good enough. Well, if she's yelling at you because you didn't load the dishwasher properly.
When was the last time your wife cleaned the toilet and you held her in your arms and said, honey, thank you. Thank you for being such a beautiful woman, for cleaning the toilet, and saying, besame, besame mucho.
Never.
Como si fuera esta noche la última vez. And then dance and spin her around while she has the rubber gloves on and the toilet scrubbing thing.
Call her the porcelain goddess.
Like a porcelain goddess. Besame, besame mucho. That's what you should be doing. When was the last time you did that?
Boy, now, I didn't think you would take him to task quite so much.
But come on. I mean, this is the problem. Everybody, I just don't feel.
I don't feel appreciated. I don't feel wanted. I don't feel. Yeah, how about you just don't feel for a while?
Yeah, we got people who, you know, their sex lives, they complain about their sex lives. I just don't feel my wife is being passionate enough. Yeah. Was she having sex with you? Well, yeah.
Then shut up.
Shut your pie hole.
Shut your gate.
This is the shot of the pie hole face show. We should retype the show.
Retitle, it. Yeah. This is the Shut
Your Pie Hole. Shut Your Pie Hole with Mark Gunger. Shut Your Pie Hole. Look, sometimes people have real issues that they need to talk through because they really are having problems with it. I get that. I understand them. But seriously, dude, just be a dad. Be a husband. Who cares?
It's just a drag, you know?
It's just, what?
It's just a drag. This doing the housework. You don't have to feel appreciated. It's just the drudge and the drag of life, and you do it, and who cares?
That's my point.
Who cares?
How about we just do life? How about we serve God? How about you feed the poor? How about you clean the toilets at church? How about you do that without having to get a big button or a big ribbon or anything else like that? Now, if you're wife is one of these women who every time you do the dishwasher, oh, don't do it that way. Or every time you do the laundry, well, don't do it like that.
Right.
Then she's got a problem.
Agreed.
Then she needs to shut in a pie hole. Shut in a pie hole. Is there a song called that? We should find a song.
I don't know. He has another question. We'll do that on
the
other side.
Oh, really? After all this?
There's another
I don't think
question.
He's even listening anymore. I bet you he doesn't have another question.
I bet you after that response,
he has turned off the radio or the television or thrown his computer into the toilet. Assuming he actually is still listening, we will answer his next question right after this.
Man's souls were so much more.
That would be me and Debbie.
Glory and fame.
Oh, here I am talking over the... talking over the music back into the program after the break. You're listening to The Mark Gunger Show. Talking about love, marriage, relationships, answering your email. Okay, so the first email we had, a guy was complaining because he's doing stuff and he's debating with his wife that he doesn't feel. So already, he's already talking to her about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's out there. She, you know, it's just, she's...
Just do your thing. And if she compliments you, know, great. If she doesn't, booty stick in.
Some people,
like
they're so needy.
Yeah.
They want to be appreciated. Be a man. Be a little bit of a man.
If they only understood how big of a drain it is on the person that they're asking that of. It's just draining.
Some people are narcissistic people who need attention all the time. Like me.
Can I imagine?
I understand
like that.
They're so narcissistic, they create their own show. So they can listen to themselves talk.
I guess. Okay, right. He does have another question here.
Assuming he's still listening,
he's still listening, his other question is...
highly in doubt at this moment.
He says, in your message, you say to the wife to barter to get things done with their husband. Uh-huh. One of the big things in this is sex.
Uh-huh.
One thing on that keeps bugging me is that it seems like that only men can think of joy and pleasure and that it needs to be a bargaining tool for women. So apparently for men, sex is about joy and pleasure, but for women, it's only a bargaining tool. He wants to know. Ready, boys? Listen up, Ross.
What?
Do women,
I'm groaning already, but go ahead.
Do women really not look forward to having sex or something? I mean, I crave it, don't they? And can they just decide to quit having sex? He says, I may think this is a little too black and white, but what is this about?
Can they just decide not to?
Well, being a former woman myself, before my sex change. I remember what it was. I don't
aren't
know. You got
to like,
answer that.
He wants to know, aren't women just like men that they want sex and
some
crave it the same
are.
Way?
No, they don't.
That's what he wants to
they
know.
They don't. That's the deal.
Most women are different than men.
Yes. Have you noticed this? Quite frankly, this kind of bites. Now, I know somehow there is a divine plan in this. I have no idea what it is.
But I don't think he's
why?
Right.
Why couldn't God just make them like us? Sure, make life a lot easier,
why
I would think.
Why couldn't God just make you like me? You men like me.
You know what? Some guys didn't even buy that. You know, they
make
don't like walking around
like
feeling
women.
all the time. It gets to be a drag after a while.
I don't think
know.
Most women think of sex as simply a bartering or bargaining tool.
Oh, I get more people mad at me about that one thing.
I don't think of it that way.
I think I finally edited it out of my DVD.
Did really? You?
Yeah,
just because of all the flash.
Rather than answer, though.
It's not you got to just pick it. Some people are just clueless about life. Look, a couple who gets along, who are playfully enjoying life, a woman knows she can use that not as a manipulation. Everybody turns into some evil thing.
You're talking
about manipulation. You're talking about using sex as a weapon. I am not. Although, if you're going to kill me and I get to choose a weapon, I choose sex.
Yeah.
All right. But we're talking a playful, normal, healthy relationship, you know, and the wife is trying to get the guy to do such and such, and it can turn into a big nasty thing. Or he's going, I don't want to do it. Come on, help me. I don't want to do it. I said, I'll tell you what.
You
help me with
it.
This, and I'm going to put a smile on your face later. All of a sudden, the guy's doing it. Now, that's not manipulation.
Different.
That's not some evil thing.
That's a
normal, healthy couple having fun with this.
Yes.
That's what I'm talking about. But, oh, my goodness, all the people who make stuff into stuff that it isn't. Just, you know, I'm just so glad I'm not these people. It must just bite to be
to them.
Right. I mean, how awful would it be to be you? You people are always, everything's an issue. Everything's a big deal. Every little thing some preacher says on the radio or TV is just a thing. Some of you right now, you're already making a list. I'm going to write to the station and tell them to quit that. Oh, man. I'm just glad I'm not you. Get a life. A life. Relax a little bit. Good grief. Oh, I just thank God I didn't marry some of these women. You can't just relax. You can't just have fun. Okay, so to answer his question, are women then different than us? Yep.
Yeah. But there are women who crave sex. It's not
some,
like they don't.
But you know what? They tend to marry guys who don't.
This is true.
I'm just telling you.
I know.
It's like we're all crazy people. It's like there's something about us. We're all insane. And we all do this. I don't know why it is what it is. And, you know, I don't know. Just, you know, everybody deals with it. Just work with it. You know, just relax. It'll be fine. All right. What else you got?
Okay. I know you're not going to like this one because I can hear the rant coming. I hear it in my head already.
She eggs me on, you know.
Well,
I'm trying to be a peaceful man.
You are not.
I'm shopping. So just.
I am a man of peace.
No, you're not.
All right.
Okay. Question says, what do you tell Christian ladies who are in their late 39 to 40 years who are single, no one is approaching them in church, and they want babies. The doctors advise nowadays to avoid deformity to have your baby earlier than later.
Do you think all you dumb parents out there telling your daughters to wait till she's almost 30 to get married, do you realize that 90% of her eggs are kaput by the time she hits 30? And we got all these Christian girls who are 30 years old crying their eyes out because they can't get pregnant. And they're praying and asking God for it. Why, God? Why would it? As if it's God's fault.
Right.
That's not God's fault. You're the ones that sat around and waited until you're 35 to try and get pregnant. Oh, man, this stuff just drives me crazy.
39, 40
years? Told you. Yeah, there's a Christian
lady. All right, so
what do you tell them? 40s. They're single. No one's approaching in the church. No man on the horizon.
Yeah.
They want to have babies.
Yeah, yeah.
Should they go for in vitro fertilization
they
do?
No.
She
Stay single.
It. True story here in guess which country?
South Africa.
Yes.
Oh, the guiltiest country I've ever been in on this. You know what
Africa.
You girls are who are 35 to 45 years of age, single, and you have no prospects? You ought to go yell at your pastors. You ought to go yell at the leaders of your singles groups. These are the psychos who've been telling you all these years, oh, God has
That's
a special
right.
person just for you. Just wait. Don't do anything. Just wait. And then you're 35, 45 years of age. And now the guys your age, they don't want you anyway.
Yeah.
See, that's the thing. These girls don't realize. It is the 35. You girls who have waited
and
bought.
They are really in limbo now.
You are in limbo now. You might as well just get comfortable being single. Mm-hmm. Or you say, no, someone might marry you. Great, you know. Then, but most of you, I'm telling you, you want to. I know singles get really mad
they
at me.
They get upset.
And I know pastors get mad at me because I make their girls upset.
Yes.
But a lot of you girls who are 35 plus that's single at this point, you're probably never going to get married. Mm-hmm. It's just a reality. It's just probably never going to happen.
It's just mean.
You know, it's not mean. I'm telling you. Where was the church talking about this 25 years ago? How come they're not challenging the men? Get a clue. Get a girlfriend. Get a wife. But no, we've got to drag it out until their mid-30s. These guys now are porn addicts who've been self-gratifying themselves for 20 years now. And we're trying to fix those broken people all the time.
And you don't want those guys anyway.
Oh, I know,
no
but
chick
I
should want one of those
I
guys.
I know, but that even makes it worse. There's less men even when you take them out of the pool.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the thing. What these girls don't realize, because I was in the church. South Africa's real bad about this. They all wait to. Man, I'm talking to pastors in their mid to late 30s. You met these guys, associate pastors. They don't even have girlfriends.
Nope.
That's really just
not
crazy.
Even girlfriends.
That's
dude,
like
you're,
me.
You're
right, now.
You're right now.
Right now.
No, not even a girlfriend.
No girlfriend. No,
not,
even, not even interest.
Yeah, and you haven't even had any all this time.
Serve the church.
Just serve Jesus. Serve. Okay, great. If that's what you're going to do, then fine. Don't lie to these girls
but
and let them.
They're having problems with the sexual immorality.
Yeah, yeah, of course, they're being immoral. They're feeling
the
up and having sex with their girlfriends.
C-H-R-I-S-T-I-N.
And I master fornicate. And I masturbate. And I repent and get to do it all again.
This is what we got. Isn't it lovely, people?
Isn't it lovely?
And we wonder why we're having these moral problems because we don't have the sense God gave a rock. Honestly, I don't understand. You know what it is? They're just doing what the world does.
Because
the world wakes up in their mid-30s to get married.
Yeah.
Of course, they've been having sex with 40 different people before they get married. And some have already fathered 30 different kids by now.
Mm-hmm.
And the church tries to take the same model and try and make it fit in
doesn't
a Christian
work.
World, and it doesn't work. And you girls who are 35 to 45, you know what's happening? All the guys who finally now are interested in getting married that are your age, they don't want you.
Yeah.
You know what they do? They jump back in the 20-year-old pool.
Yep.
They're going to jump. They all do it. I've met gobs of them in South Africa.
Yeah. When they finally decide to marry.
I said, you know what's going to happen? They're going to jump back in the younger pool, and then some 38-year-old guy raises, well, that's what I did.
Yep.
And his wife giggles. She's 21. Oh, she's happy. He's happy.
Mm-hmm.
But then girls are going to be heartbroken. 35 to 45 years. Don't yell at me. You should yell at your pastor. You should yell at these guys who've been teaching you for 15, 20 years.
Wait.
Don't do anything. God has someone just for you. And you haven't. They don't have enough sense to tell you how to get out there and actively find a husband and challenge the young men to grow up and get a wife.
Yes.
So we've got a whole generation of young girls that I'm surprised they're not just going to be furious at the church. You know who you are really attractive to, though? Guys like me.
60.
But
60
they don't
guys,
want you.
I know. They don't want to marry. These 35-year-olds don't want to marry a 60-year-old guy.
It's because you're not going to want to have kids. You know,
well, I know, but I'm telling them that's their only hope. They're gonna marry some guy who is either divorced.
Yep.
And all the baggage from
that.
Or a widower. That's not bad.
No.
Okay, but they're going to be a lot older than you.
But you don't look like Matthew McConaughey anymore.
I'm just telling you, a 40-year-old girl is not attractive to a 40-year-old man. She's attractive to a 55-year-old man. That's who she's attractive to. The whole thing is a big, stinking mess. And we have millions of... I was watching a TV commercial the other night. ChristianSingles.com.
Ugh.
What is it? 200 million singles.
Yep.
Seriously? 200 million
you.
Of you. And none of you can find a single Christian person.
That's awesome.
But what I hate about that commercial is the find God's match for you, because that's what they're
looking
for. I know,
because they spiritualize it again. Look,
oh,
the Bible,
the one that God has.
You know, we're giving people too much at one time. They're already freaking out, they're already calling the station, trying to get us off the air.
You better
take a break. The Bible never talks about this one special person just for you. The Bible says, find. He who finds a wife finds a good thing. A woman of noble character. Everybody quotes these scriptures. Who can find? It's about finding. You know what finding means? You mean you got to go look. You have to either look to find or look to get found. It takes energy. And sitting around, these people are as guilty as if they're telling young people who need a job, do not go look for a job. Trust God, he'll bring you a job. Well, nobody would be that stupid in the job world, but we are that stupid in the marriage world. And what we have now is we're going to have a good 15, 20-year chunk of single young women who are going to be frustrated.
Yep.
A lot of them eventually give in. They're already talking about in vitro fertilization.
Yep.
They're going to raise
so crazy.
Children without fathers and create that problem, or they're going to go out and marry some unsaved guy, and we've created a disaster. And the problem is, who should you talk to? You should talk to your pastors and the leaders and the teachers at Bible colleges and stuff who've been teaching this lie about wait until God makes a divine thing you have no control over. It's not biblical when it comes to the area of marriage. And that's all I got to say. We got to take a break.
Have a marriage dilemma? Email your questions to radio@markgunger.com, and Mark can answer them during one of our shows.
She's got me running. I got nothing to plead. Is that spirit that's scaring?
Yeah, this is the Mark Gunger Show, talking about love, marriage, and relationships, and listen to me go psycho. I get so upset about this.
I can't tell.
Because we keep creating problems. People are not wired to wait until they're 35 to have sex.
I say the devil's winning big in this one. That's all I can say.
The person who's the happiest when pastors tell their young people to wait as long as possible to get married is the devil.
Yep.
Yes.
The longer they wait.
He knows he's got them.
The longer they wait, the more of a chance that it will fail.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we change the way we think? Fight against us. I don't care if the secular cultures wait till they're 40 to get married. Who cares? We're not part of that culture. We're supposed to create our own culture, a Christian culture. And you parents, I know Christian parents who tell them they're 3-year-olds, don't you dare get married before you get your master's degree.
Silly.
You should be slapped.
Silly.
Because it's your kid that's going to wind up addicted to porn, or your kid's going to wind up having sex with 3-4 different guys before they finally get married. Then they'll have a hard time staying married. And then they got to come to guys like me to help save the marriage. And everybody's going to wait. You know how much time and energy is wasted every day in the kingdom of God?
Not my kid. He's
just
different.
Trying to hold marriages together.
But I think it all goes back to what you've said many times, that too many people don't think that there's anything wrong and there isn't a big deal about all of the sexual sin, about the pornography, the masturbation, the fornication, all of that. People don't understand. This is no small deal.
It's very destroying. Although I would, I honestly, I don't think they think. I don't think they're thinking at all. I think, my kid will stay a virgin, totally disconnected from any kind of sexual drive or activity until the 30 years of age. They're just dumb.
Do you really think that they're just stupid?
Dumb. I think the parents are that stupid.
That they think that the kid will just remain pure and chaste.
Yeah.
No
because
porn.
He gets a because he has
sex
a promise ring.
Sex.
Yeah, you get a promise ring. Now, never mind that 90%, 80% of all the kids who get promise rings are having sex by 21. I mean,
mm-hmm.
we can't figure that out. We're a little slow.
Spell that goes with
we're
the ring.
Christians. We can't use our brains. We can't look at the facts.
Mm-hmm. Good grief. I mean, at some point, we've got to stop and say, stop. Yep. What are we doing? We're trying to emulate a culture from a moral standpoint. It just doesn't work. You want your kid to stay pure? You want your daughter to be a virgin when she gets married? She'll probably get married at 21, 20, maybe 19. That's how it's done.
But they don't think it's a big deal, though.
But here's the crazy thing. You would think what I'm saying is something radical off the face of it.
Right.
The idea of waiting until you're almost 30, that's what's new. People for thousands of years of human history got married at 19, 20, 21 years of age. The people who built this country got married at 19, 20, 21 years of age. I talk to old people, man. They got married at 16.
Mm-hmm.
This idea that has happened in the last 30 years, you would think that this has been the norm for all of human experience. Mm-hmm. And when guys like me come along and challenge it, all these people, their mouths drop open.
No.
You dorks, you're the experiment. Look at the result of the experiment.
It's not working.
Waiting in the immorality that we're having. And I'm talking in the church. I'm not condemning non-Christians, man. They're non-Christians. They don't live by the standard we live in. I'm talking about Christian young people who are being destroyed today. The church having a problem with morality, having a problem holding marriages together, because we keep doing the same stupid things over and over again. We're telling our kids, don't you dare get married till 30, but you can start dating at 13.
Mm-hmm. What do you think is going to happen between 13 and 30?
That's just 17 years of absolute mayhem.
But they think that the problem is that they don't have enough money. They don't have enough education. They don't have all of these other things. And they really do.
People really
think that's what causes divorce.
They're just wrong.
They don't understand that it's all the sexual business that causes the divorce.
And then it creates this over-spiritualized version that God has that one special person just for you. And literally people say, well, don't date. Don't do anything. Just God will bring you someone. So now we've got this girl writing us, her 35 to 45-year-old girlfriends. Mm-hmm. Who've been single all this time. And we're talking, in South Africa, tons of them.
Yep.
No prospects. And here's the problem. All the guys their age don't want them anymore. Mm. Now they're going to go back into the 20-year-old pool. You girls will probably stay single for the rest of your lives. You say, what should I do? Go get in vitro? No. Just stay single. Be happy being single. Look, you don't have to be married to be... You don't need a man to make you happy.
Nope.
Or a child.
I wanted a baby.
If you want kids around.
Or a child.
Well, you should be yelling at your Christian leaders. They're the ones. And I'm telling you, what are these churches going to tell them in the next 10 years? Because the church is going to be full of 35 to 55-year-old girls who've never been married. Yeah. What are you going to tell them now, Pastor? What are you going to tell them now, Christian leaders? What are you going to tell them now, moms? And you don't think we're going to have a morality problem when that hits the fan?
Mm-hmm.
All right, final break. We'll be back.
Finally, marriage advice that's direct, honest, and to the point. This is The Mark Gunger Show on MarkGunger.com.
You're back with The Mark Gunger Show, talking about love, marriage, relationships, and me pontificating and yelling and screaming.
Okay.
And,
let's move on. I think I can squeeze this in before the end here. And you might want to scream on this one, too. It's from a guy. He says, my wife and I work opposite shifts. She works during the day while I work most evenings. This doesn't leave us many nights when we're both home together and able to spend quality time. Plus, they have two kids, which takes away some of the opportunities. He said, on the rare nights we do get to spend time alone, my wife and I have different ideas on how to spend the time. She wants to talk and connect emotionally, while I want to connect in a different way.
See, here's role reversal.
But why can't you do both?
Well, he says that, I'm trying to skip this.
Talk to the girl. Talk her ears off.
And he says, I would love.
Wow, passionate love.
That's what he says. I would love to do both.
Besame mucho.
He would love to do both, he says, but with all of the work and all of that, if he talks to her for about 20 minutes to give her the talking, then she falls asleep. He suggested they do the physical stuff first and then talk, but she doesn't feel motivated to have sex unless she's talked to him.
So they're kind of
doing this sort of a thing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How's your day today? Okay. How about, this is just general advice for people. How about you all not waiting until you're completely exhausted before you try to connect? That's what people do.
Well, he's saying they don't really have the time because they're opposite shifts and then the kids are there. And this is the only time he has. What does he do with this? He doesn't like it. They've been married 9 years.
First of all, I don't believe it. Everybody's, it can be done. I thought, what time are they going to bed now?
They're on opposite shifts.
Okay, but they're going to bed sometime.
Yeah.
So what time? 9 o'clock? 10 o'clock?
Well, by the time you get two little kids down, you know.
Oh, come on. What time do little kids go down?
Some people let their little kids stay up very late.
Well, then they're morons.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking 6 to 8 o'clock. Now crawling a second 9. Well, we normally wait till 10. I love it. If they would just shut off the stupid television.
Yeah. Yes. Put your kids down.
But they
really
got to put them down. Then they got to watch this show. Then they got to watch
Facebook.
That show. Then they've got to watch the news and weather.
And you have
then they
got to
watch the first part of Letterman.
Yeah.
And then they wonder why somebody's falling asleep.
That's true.
See, I don't buy it.
Yeah.
If she's that tired, say, okay, we're going to bed an hour early tomorrow.
Yep.
It's very simple. Yeah. Obviously, this isn't working. We need to go to bed an hour. People make such complicated stuff out of nothing.
I thought that you were going to tell them to quit working the opposite shifts. That's what I was waiting for.
It could be done.
If it can be done. That's the other thing.
Because people usually say that.
I know. People say, well, we have contrary schedules and it's destroying our marriage. Well, get a different job. Well, okay, get a different.
Well, because they want to keep the house and the life and everything they're doing.
We steal moments. This is us, as it has been for 17 years. We steal moments. And, you know, we've got kids. We're doing the whole kid thing. I work days. She works nights. It is what it is.
Now, you make it work.
You need to really take a look at your evening and prioritize. You know,
that's my point. That's not what they're doing.
Exactly.
You know, they got to do whatever they got to do.
Yep.
And then they got to watch this show. and they go watch that show, then they have to, watch the news and weather, or the world will die.
Sure, right.
Then, of course, they got to watch, you know, the top 10 list on Letterman, and then all of a sudden they're too tired. Oh, come on.
Just don't update your Facebook status.
You know, it's interesting to me that people can have time for everything.
Yes.
A lot of women are guilty of this. They can have time for everything, but they can't have time to have sex with their husband.
Correct.
They got time for the kids. They have time for the clothes. They have time to clean the toilets. They have time to brush the teeth on the goldfish. They got time for everything, but somehow they never have. Gee, I wonder why that might be. Seriously. All right. We'll see you.
Bye-bye, boys.
Have fun storming the castle.